In this video, we'll take a look at how to load some information from the internet into our app. Now, in the last video, when we wrote our Pokedex app, we just hard-coded that list of Pokemon. But what we really want to do is load in all of that information from some resource on the internet so we don't have to hard-code it ourselves. The way we're going to do that is by utilizing something called an API, or Application Programming Interface. You can think about an API just as some code that somebody else wrote in a way that's designed for you to be able to easily use it. So the API that we're going to use is just going to return some data about Pokemon, and the format it's going to return that data in is called JSON. So JSON stands for JavaScript Object Notation, and it's this format that originally was used with just the programming language JavaScript, which is a language you can use to write web applications, but it's really evolved to become a standard format to transfer data, especially when it's hosted on some server and you're using some client to read that data. So here's what JSON looks like. You can see it's a little bit similar to some of the maps that we've seen in Java, in that it looks like we have some keys. Then there's a colon that separates these keys from some values. So to start, we have these left and right curly braces, and these designate that this is an object. And inside of this object, we have three keys. And all of these keys are strings. The first one is course, the second tracks, and the third is year. Then we have a colon, and on the right side of the colon, we have the value that corresponds to that key. So the first value is a string, just CS50. This second value is a list, and this happens to be a list of strings. And then lastly, this third value is a number. In this case, it's an integer. And so you can see that with JSON, you can have a variety of different data types inside of this same object. And as you'd expect, you can also nest objects inside of each other. So the API that we're going to use is some website that someone else wrote called pokeapi.co. So let's check this out. So here's this API's homepage. This is pretty nice because it gives you a lot of information about the type of data that's going to be returned by this API, and this little sandbox where you can make requests yourself. So let's take a look. So it looks like the API request that we just made was to https://pokeapi.co/API, makes sense, /v2, so that probably stands for version 2, so there's some version 1 around somewhere, but we don't have to worry about that, /Pokemon/Ditto, so Ditto is just a Pokemon. And then here you can see the information that this API is going to return. So there's lots of different information here. Some of these values are arrays, some of them are numbers, some of them are strings. Now if I come down here and click on this View Raw JSON button, you can see the actual JSON that this API is going to return to us. So when we make a request to that URL, this is the information that we're going to get back. So the first thing we want to load from this API is a list of all of the Pokemon. So to figure out what I need to do, I'm going to jump to the documentation for this API. We're going to click on version 2, since that's the latest one. Why not use that? And then you can see over here on the left, there's lots of different information about all the different types of information you can get. So I'm looking for a list, so let me try clicking on resource lists. So it looks like here, here's some policies about how to use it. There's a Slack if you want to ask questions. There's some libraries. We're not going to worry too much about those. And now let's take a look at this resource lists. So this says calling any API endpoint without a resource ID will return a paginated list of resources. Great, that's exactly what we're looking for. We're looking for a list of Pokemon. It also says that I can supply a limit parameter. So if I only want the first, say, 151 Pokemon, it's really easy for me to do that. So okay, so this is basically all the information I need. So let's head back to that sandbox and give it a try. So it said to remove the ID, so I'm going to do that and just delete Ditto. And it also said that I can do something like give it a limit equals 151, so I'll give that a shot and hit submit. And now we can see we got a different API response. It looks like I got this response where there's this object with a key of results. The value for that key is an array with 151 items. And if I check out what each item looks like, This looks great. Looks like we have the name of each Pokemon, and then there's a URL there where I can get more information. So this is exactly what I was looking for. So this is the URL that I want to use to request that list of Pokemon. The library that I'm going to use to make a request to this API is this library that's provided to us by Google and Android called Volley. And if I open up the developer.android page here and look at the documentation for Volley, I can see there's lots of information here. And in fact, there's a tutorial to walk you through how to make a bunch of different requests, but we're going to do that together. The important thing on this page is getting what this library is called so I can add it to my Gradle file. By default, this library isn't included, just like we needed to include RecyclerView separately. We'll also need to include this Volley library separately. So we can just take this and copy and paste it into our build.gradle file. So let's do that now. I'm just going to copy this, going to come back over here to Android Studio, and inside of my build.gradle file, I'm just going to add this line. Again, we get this little information bar about syncing, so I'm going to do that to download the library from the internet and put it somewhere that my project can use. So there we go. Looks like our sync was successful. So now we have that library that we need to make those API requests. One last concept that we're going to see while we're making API requests is something called a try-catch block. So Java supports this language feature that's called exceptions. And an exception, kind of as it sounds, represents when something goes wrong with your application that you need to recover from. So here's what this syntax looks like. So let's say that we have some object here, and it has a method on it called something. And this something might fail in a way that we need to recover from. And so inside of the body of this, it might say, I'm going to throw some exception. And that means we should stop running our program and respond to that exception being thrown. In the case of our API, the exception we're worried about is if the API returns some JSON that's invalid. If it's invalid JSON and we can't decode it into some Java objects, then we need to really recover from that because it just doesn't make sense to keep going trying to use some data if it's not formatted correctly. So this is the syntax we'll use. We start by saying try, followed by an open brace. And this just says that inside of these open braces, something is going to throw some exception. Then we'll have a catch block. And this catch block is where your execution is going to jump to if an exception is thrown. So here we're catching just some exception called exception. That's a class name, so it's just a type. And then we'll name that exception called E, and now we have an exception object. And from that exception object, we can do stuff. Simplest thing to do is just to print out what that exception is. So not only print out the message, but also a stack trace showing you where the exception was triggered and all of the different functions and methods that you were inside when the exception happened. So when we're decoding JSON, we're going to need to use a try-catch block, and that's the reason we'll need it, is to sort of handle this kind of error in our decoding process. So those are all the concepts we need to start loading data from an API, so let's add that to our app. So let's open up Android Studio again and jump back to our adapter. Since our adapter was where all of our original data was stored, so we're just going to make some modifications here. So this was our previous data store, just the static list. So let's get rid of this and say that instead of creating that list, let's just create a new empty array list. So now we're starting off with no data loaded, and we're going to load that data in from an API. So first, let's create a new method to load some data from that API. So we're going to say public. Our return type is void because we're not returning anything. We're just going to store it in that field. Let's call this method load Pokemon. So the first thing we'll need is the URL that we're looking to load. So let's create a new string variable called URL. And then if we jump back over to that API, we can just copy and paste this. So we know it's going to be Poke API, API version 2. And then we can copy in the rest of the URL. So that's the URL that we want to load our data from. The next step is to write out a JSON request. So this is where we're going to use that Volley library. So inside of Volley, there's this class called JSON Object Request. And as you'd guess, this is a special request that's going to handle a JSON response. So let's create a new JSON Object Request. So the first parameter to this method is the type of request that we'd like to make. So to specify that, we're going to use the request class defined in Volley. Then we're going to say method and get. So a get request is just a type of request, much like your web browser might make, that's just getting some data from a URL. We're not sending anything, we're just trying to get a list of Pokemon, so this get request makes sense. The next parameter to this method is the URL to request. That's easy, we just created URL. This next parameter we're not going to use, we're just going to pass null because we don't need to send along any information. And then lastly, we're going to define a method that's going to be called when the request finishes. So to do that, we're going to use a class also from Volley called response.listener. So we can say new response.listener, and again, let the autocomplete do the work for you here. So you'll notice what this did is it created an anonymous class in that same syntax we used before. So we're defining a new class that extends response.listener. It looks like it's passing in a type of JSON object, and that's being used here because we know we're going to get back a JSON object. And then we're overriding this one method called onResponse. And this is the method that's going to be called for you automatically when the data finishes loading. So now that we've defined this method, let's start parsing the response from the API. If we jump back to the API page, let's remember what the response is going to look like. It looks like we have an object with four keys here, but we really only care about this last one called results. And it also looks like the type of this results is an array, where it happens to have 151 items. So we're going to start parsing this. So we're going to say we want a JSON array, and we'll call this results. And to access that key from that response object, we can say response get JSON array results. And so what this is going to do is it's going to look into that JSON, look for a key called results, and then take that key and make sure that it's an array. But you can see here that I already have this red underline that says unhandled exception. And this is where our try-catch block is going to come into play. Is in the event that there's no key called results or that key isn't actually an array, Java's going to throw an exception and say, this data doesn't look like what you thought it looked like, and you need to handle that. So let's handle that. Let's put that inside of a try. And now we can catch the exception that it's throwing. So if I just hover over this, it says an unhandled exception, JSON exception. So let's just say JSON exception. And now at this point in a real app, you'd want to somehow display a message to the user saying, you know, that some error occurred or try reloading. But for now, let's just handle this ourselves and print it out to that log. So we can use that log class again. And this time say log.e, e for error. And we can say tag just CS50. Then we can say some JSON error. Then we can also pass along that exception object. And that way, it can get logged. So let's quickly just do a make here. And it looks like I forgot a semicolon. So let's add that. And now there's one last parameter that we have to add to our JSON request. And it's also going to be this anonymous class, but it's going to be an error listener. And so this is going to get called if something happens, like this URL doesn't exist. And we won't worry about this too much for now. We can just sort of do another log.e, say CS50, we can say Pokemon list error. Something simple like that. Now let's make sure our app compiles, and it does. So now let's get back to parsing that JSON. So now we have this object called results of type JSON array. And so the next thing we want to do is iterate through this array and add each of those results to our list. So to do that, we're going to write a for loop to iterate through all of those elements. And we'll just write a traditional for loop here. So we'll say int I equals 0, I is less than results. And this object has this method called length that's defined on it. And we'll say I plus plus. And so now to access each individual element, we can say there's some object that's a JSON object that represents a single result. And that's going to be results.getJSONObject of I. And so now each of these objects represents a single one of these elements. So this object should have two keys, one called name and one called URL. So if now we want to create these Pokemon objects, we want to make sure there's a place for both the name and the URL. And if you remember what our model looks like, it looks a little different. We have name and number. So let's just quickly update this to have a URL. So we'll change the field name, we'll change the parameter, and lastly, we'll change our getter to be getURL and return URL. So now we have a place to store both of those things. So now to actually store them, we're going to say Pokemon.add, and now we can create a new Pokemon object. Remember that constructor takes two things. It takes a name, and so that's going to be result.getString, and that was called name. Just space this out. And the other argument is result.getString. And we called this URL. Now we'll add a semicolon. And let's make sure our app compiles. It looks like we're missing a, had an extra semicolon there. And now remember, we sort of changed that Pokemon object. So we got rid of this getNumber method. So let's just comment this out for now, and we'll come back to this later. So there's one there. And it looks like that's the only usage of it. OK, so now we should have a list of Pokemon objects, but this time loaded from an API rather than that static list. So the last thing we need to do here is to actually kick off this request so it actually starts running. So to do that, we're going to use an object called a request queue. So this is from the Volley documentation. You can read about that. But we're going to create an object of type request queue. And we'll just call it request queue. And if you look in the documentation, this object requires a parameter that's called a context. And right now, our Pokedex adapter doesn't have access to that context. But our Pokemon activity does. There's a method on activities that's called getApplicationContext. And so what we want to do is pass that object from our activity to the adapter. And that's pretty easy to do. Let's just create a constructor. So we'll say our Pokedex adapter constructor takes one thing. It takes a context. And we'll just call it context. And now with that context, we can create our request queue. So we can say request queue equals volley.newRequestQueue. And this is where we're going to pass in that context variable. So inside of this constructor is where we can add our API request. So let's just say load Pokemon right there. Lastly, with this request queue, we want to make sure that our request is actually added to it. So when I say request queue, dot add request, this is what's actually going to kick off the request and actually make the request. In this first line here, all I've done is define an object that represents a request, but I haven't actually used it yet. So to actually use it, all I have to say is I'm going to add it to this queue, and this queue is going to actually make that request to pokeapi.co. So we changed the constructor for our Pokedex adapter. So now we also need to change our main activity. So here's where we created the Pokedex adapter. And so you notice now that we have a syntax error, which makes sense because we asked the constructor to take one parameter. So we're just going to call that getApplicationContext. This is just a method that's defined on activity. So we're just going to call this, and now we can pass along that field that our request library needs. So let's give this a shot. Let's make sure that this compiles. Looks like it does. So let's now try running this inside of the simulator. Looks like we installed successfully, so let's open it up. Looks like nothing's there. So our API request went through, and we loaded all of this data, but now we need to notify our recycler view that our data actually changed. All we've done is just change this underlying model, but we need to tell a recycler view, hey, go and reload that data so you can display the latest stuff. And that's pretty easy to do. The only thing we need to do is call this method notifyDataSetChanged. This is a method that's defined on the recyclerView.adapter class. We didn't have to write this. We can just, because we're extending that, we can just call that method. So now that I've added that notifyDataSetChanged method, let's try again. Looks like we installed successfully. We open the app, still blank. So let's take a look at what's output in our log. So let's come down here to Logcat. Open that up, and if we scroll up a bit, looks like this red doesn't look good. So here's that Pokemon list error, which means that this on error response is being triggered. And it says that I got permission denied. I'm missing the internet permission. So if you remember back to when we were looking at that Android manifest XML file, we saw there that that's where we listed a few things about what our application is allowed to do. Because by default, Android apps are basically in a sandbox where they only have certain permissions. And one of the permissions that we need to add is the ability to communicate to the internet. And that's not something that's added by default, so we have to go into our Android manifest and add that ourselves. To do that, we're going to open back up that Android manifest. And underneath this activity tag, or underneath this application tag, rather, we're going to add uses permission. And again, autocomplete is right there for me. It says internet is probably something you want to add. So we're just going to let that autocomplete, and we're good to go. So this is a new XML element. It says I want to use a permission. Its permission is this special Android permission that lets you communicate with the internet. So now our app is allowed to do that. So let's run it one last time. Great. This time we have no errors in our logs. And in fact, we've loaded up all of this data from the API. So we can see that we're using this API response now in our app, and our recycler view is basically displaying data that we got from somewhere on the internet. If you remember before, when we hard-coded those values, we just sort of uppercase the first letter ourselves because we were typing it in ourselves. And it looks like this API doesn't do that, but it looks a lot nicer when it's capitalized. So let's write that capitalization ourselves. Let's jump back to the Pokedex adapter. And now, rather than just using whatever field is returned under that name key, let's do something with that before we create the Pokemon object. So let's create a variable name, and that's going to be equal to result.getStringName. And so now let's capitalize the first letter. To do that, I want to take the first item in this string, the first letter in this string, capitalize that, and then append onto it the rest of the string. So luckily, Java strings have a method called substring that you can use to get sort of a string inside of that string. So here's what I mean. If I say result dot, or if I say name dot substring, you can see here the autocomplete tells me that it takes two arguments, a begin and an end. So to get just the first letter, substring. So to get just that first letter, I want to take a begin index of 0 and an end index of 1. That's going to get me the first letter. And with that first letter, I want to uppercase it. So I can say to uppercase. And then I just want the rest of the string as it was, because that's already lowercase. So let's just say name.substring. Now if I just give this one argument, what it's going to do is take the rest of the substring. So I don't need to specify an end index. It'll just keep going until it hits the end of the string. So now let's run this. If we open up the emulator, that's what we wanted. Now we have everything capitalized and looking like it did before. So now that we've loaded the list of Pokemon from this API, let's also load in the data about a single Pokemon. To do that, let's first jump back to the API to remind ourselves what that data looks like. So we can use this URL parameter to say what request we need to make to get information about each Pokemon. So if we take the first one, I can get rid of this limit, just say /1, since that's what this URL is telling me to get, and click Submit. And so this is the resource that we're going to get back. It has a bunch of different information about the Pokemon. And so let's say that in our app, we want to display the type of each Pokemon. So each Pokemon can have one or two types associated with it. And then it's given to us in the API with this types field. So what we want to do is in our second activity, once that's loaded, we want to load up this information and then use the types field and display that via some other text views in the app. So just as we did last time, let's first change the view and add the elements we want to add, see if we need any changes to our model, and then finally hook up the controller. So let's open up that activity Pokemon XML file where we had those text views, and let's add a few more. Let's just copy here. So we want one to be called our Pokemon type 1, and the other we'll call Pokemon type 2. Feel free to adjust the text size or padding. I'm just going to leave them alone for now. So next, let's open up our Pokemon activity. So remember last time that we passed along the name and the number. This time we don't need to do that. What we actually want to pass along is that URL, since we can use that URL to load in information about a Pokemon. So rather than getting name here, let's get URL and call this parameter URL. Now we can delete everything that's referencing number here, and we can delete this as well. And finally, let's move this URL just to a field so we can use it later. And there we go. So all we're doing is saving some URL that's passed into us from the intent. Okay, so just as we did last time, let's make a new method to load in some data from the API. So let's call this public void. Let's just call it load. And then rather than writing all of that stuff by hand again, let's just come back to our adapter and just copy what we had before. And when we paste this code, you'll notice that Android Studio is telling us it looks like there's a bunch of objects you're using here that you haven't imported yet. And if I just click OK, it's going to import them all for me automatically, which is pretty nice. So the first thing we want to change is this URL. We don't need to use this anymore. In fact, we've already saved the URL we want to call. So let's get rid of that. Next, our results field is going to be a bit different. So let's just get rid of this. Finally, let's change our error messages so they're a bit easier to read. So this is, let's say, a Pokemon JSON error. And this is a, let's call it a Pokemon details error. So that way we just know what's being triggered here. And now let's parse this new JSON response. So if we come back to that API, let's remember what we're looking for. The first thing we're looking for are our types. So it looks like this types field has a list of objects. So we can say response.getJSONArray, and that's types. And so let's just assign that to a JSON array called typeEntries. So just like we did before, let's iterate through this. Let's say for I is 0, I is less than typeEntries.length, I plus plus. So let's remind ourselves what each entry in this list looks like. It looks like it's an array of JSON objects, and each of those objects has two keys, one called slot and one called type. So let's get our slot first. So we want to say JSON object we'll call this a type entry, is type entries dot get JSON object, and we'll pass along the index to get. Now we can have a slot integer that's just type entry dot get int slot. So that's reading the first value from that API. So now let's read the second. To do that, let's create a string. We'll call it type. And now we'll say type entry dot get JSON object. Remember that was called type. And we only want the name field here, so we can just say get string name. Let's double check that that's right. We have a type and a name, so that looks good. So now that we have these two variables in memory, let's use them to display something in the UI. So the first thing I want to do is, just like I did before, I had these text view fields. Let's add those other two text view fields that we just created. So one was called type 1 text view, and the other was called type 2 text view. Just as we did up here, let's use find view by ID. So we'll say type 1 text view is find view by ID type 1, and our type 2 text view is find view by ID type 2. Now we can use these two fields just as we did before. We can say if we're in the first slot, then use type 1 text view, set text, and we'll just use that type variable. And if we're in slot 2, we'll use the other text view. Okay, and something else I like to do is just to make sure that those fields are empty, we can up here just say type 1 text view. Let's just set that to the empty string and set this to the empty string. Sometimes when I'm making views, I like to use placeholder values just so I can get a sense for what the view will look like with real data. So this just makes sure that those are gone. And let's make sure this is type 2. Okay, so that's the types. So let's add back in the name and the number since we got rid of those. So let's come back up here and do that. So let's jump back to our response just to remind ourselves what this looks like. So it looks like there's two keys we can use here. One is called name, that's just the name of the Pokemon, and the other is ID, and that's the number. So we're going to have the same code we had before, just using this API data. So we'll say my name text view. Let's set the text to be response.getString. It's called name. And our number text view, same thing before, we're going to set text, we're going to use string.format. Our format string is going to be 03D, meaning we want a three-digit number. We're going to pass in response.getInt, and that was called ID. Now if we save it, let's compile, see if we have any errors. Doesn't look like we do. That's great. So the last thing we need to do is to pass in this URL to this activity. This was just this kind of second half. Let's go back to that first half. So let's come back to our Pokedex adapter and look at that click handler. So okay, looks like before our click handler was passing in an extra, one called name, one called number. Let's now pass in an extra called URL. And remember that our Pokemon object has this method getURL, and that's going to get that URL as a string. And so now we only need to pass that in because we're no longer using the name and the number from that object. We just care about that URL. So let's run this and see what happens. Looks like everything installed successfully. Here's our list, just like we expected from last time. And let's try tapping on a Pokemon. Looks like nothing happened. Let's think about why. If we jump back to our Pokemon activity, looks like we created this request, but Android Studio has this underlined, sort of underlined in gray, and it says it's never used. And remember last time, before we could actually make the request, we needed to add it to that request queue. So let's create another request queue, just like we did last time. Say request queue. And then we can create one using that same line as last time. We can say my request queue is equal to volley.new request queue. Again, we just need to pass in that application context. Because we're in an activity, we already have access to it. So that's going to create the request view. And now let's use it. Let's say request view queue.add request. Okay, and notice that same gray underline is also on this load method because that's never used. And so let's just call that method immediately when the activity is created. So after we've wired up all of our views, we've created the queue, now let's call this load method so we actually make that API request. Now let's try running it again. Okay, looks like we're running. Let's try again. There we go. So we can see here that the activity was blank for a second just as it was loading in the data. But now here's that data that came in from the API. We have the name, the number, and both of the types. And you can try any of the Pokemon, you can type on anything, and we're going to get exactly the response from that API. So that's how you can use Java to load information from an API and bring it into your app.